You're listening to sermons from Bethany Baptist Church of Chicago. For more information, visit us at bethanychicago.org.
Today, I want to talk about a model church. So when you hear those words, what do you think? A model church. So I Google it to find some images. And then just the majority of the images that I found, it was something like this. A model church, maybe a church model. So that's what is in the mind of the majority of the people in the world. That's a church, right? We know that a building is not a church, but we should think in a church more in terms of this, people and Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the one who leads the church. He is the head of the body of himself, of Christ, right? So we have to think about the church as people. So we are the church. But if I said a model church, could you think something like this? Maybe. That's a picture in the basement of our church. And that's ours, right? So we should think in a church in terms of people. We are the church. And more personal. We can do that more personal. Like think about the church, not just in the building of the church, but out of the church. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, every day of the week, being the church. So you have to think about the church, a model church, as if you are the church, I am the church. Can you make a picture in your mind of yourself leading by Jesus Christ? So today I want to learn with you together what is a model church in the Bible. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 1 through 10. And we're going to learn that this particular church that was planned by Paul, Silas, and Timothy, who are writing this this letter, leading by Paul, they were the ones who were working with this church, and they were showing a lot of good deeds, and they were a model of church in such a way that everybody knew about them in all the region and out of their barriers, out of their own zone, everybody knew about this church. So this is a model of church. Can we as Bethany Baptist Church copy that for our own life as a group, as a local church, but also as individual persons that are part of the Church of Christ? So I want to show you three things through this passage today. I was studying at the beginning of this passage, and I just identified that obviously the church has a lot of good deeds. And you can notice, and verse 2 says, we always thank God for all you and all of you and pray for you constantly. As we pray to our God and Father about you, we think, says Paul, we think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are big words from Apostle Paul, who is the apostle of Jesus Christ, who wrote 13 letters, and he is talking to the Church of Thessalonians in terms that is not talking to different churches. Also, his greetings are very different than the other letters that he is writing in the Bible, because he's just encouraging and saying, you are doing a good job. You are doing a great job. You are showing to all the people how great is Jesus Christ in your lives, because you receive the gospel through the power of the Holy Spirit. So they are a model of church. We should copy them. But so at the beginning, I was seeing that Apostle Paul, Timothy, and Silas were praying for the church. And you can see a lot of characteristics of the leaders. If we identify them as the leaders of the church or the one who planned the church, you can learn a lot to be a leader. So that's one point. But also you can learn from the church itself, what they were doing They were doing good deeds, helping people, helping widows, helping poor people, and also between them, they were helping each other. You can learn a lot of themselves. But the first work is not from the people, the leaders of the church or the church. The first work is from God. And you can read it in verse 1. This letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. We are writing to the church in Thessalonica, to you who belong to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So the greeting from Apostle Paul to the church in Thessalonica is to let them know in a greeting that they belong to God. So they are from God. They are not from themselves, but God is the one who is owning them. In this way, we can understand first that the church is in the hands of God. He is the one who was first working. Before they knew about God, he knew about them. And he paid the price for the church. So the church belongs to God. I want to read also what says Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we are, as Ephesians chapter 1 says, adopted. We can call God Father, right? The three persons of God. He is just one God, but three persons. God Father. We can tell him, God, you are my Father, because I am adopted, because I believe in God the Son, your Son, and now I am the Son of God. So we belong to God. What is the difference in our lives between living as creatures of God, thinking that God created us, and thinking that not just he created us, but also he paid for our soul, because we were dead in our sins, and now we're living for Jesus Christ? That has to be a big difference in our daily life. We belong to God. We're precious in his sight. Not because the things that we do, but because what Jesus Christ did for us. That makes a big difference in our daily life. Because we are sons and daughters of God. Now we belong also, not just to God the Father, but also to God the Son. And the verse 1 says, to you who belong to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. For me, it's his talking about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That was the one thing that made the difference in our lives. What he did in that cross. And then God the Father resurrected him from death. Let's see verse 2. We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly. Then there it is again, the person of God in the church. So the leaders are praying for the church, not to another person. They are not talking to other people about the people of the church, but they pray to God, because not just he saved us, but he's also sustaining us all the time. And that's why we are praying every Sunday here. Or that's why we are praying every day and talking to God about the things and the needs that we are having. So the leaders are praying to God, the one who created us and the one who saved us. So there is again the person of God. He's there. Apostle Paul says that he's praying to God constantly. Verse 3. As we are praying to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there it is again. All the good deeds that they're doing, it's because something. Because they have a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not just doing good things because they want to. Maybe they want to. But they have a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're looking forward for His coming. You can see it in the chapter 1 many times. They want Jesus Christ to come. They love the coming of Jesus Christ. They want to talk to another people about the coming of Jesus Christ. And they're waiting for the coming of Jesus Christ. And they're doing good deeds because they are waiting for Jesus Christ. They want to Jesus Christ come. And that makes a difference in their daily life. And then Apostle Paul can say, we pray to our God and Father about you. And we think, he says, of your faithful work. So they have faithful work because they have a hope, an assurance that Jesus Christ is going to come. Your loving deeds. Why they have loving deeds? Because they love first Jesus Christ. And then he says, and then during hope you have because. That's the reason. Because of our Lord Jesus Christ. I like English very simple. My version of the Bible is a New Living Translation. Maybe different than the one you have. But I like it because it's simple. And then you can just catch the first thing that the verse is saying. So, and this version says that the reason because they are doing good deeds is because of the hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you having hope in the coming of Jesus Christ? Or you have doubts in your lives? Are you doing things every day that are pointing to the person of Jesus Christ? Or do you just worry for the things of this world? I don't want to mean that we should just forgive to eat or sleep well or have a good life. But when you seek first the kingdom of God, as says Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, then he's going to add the other things in our lives. You should live every day having hope and the coming of Jesus Christ. Let's see something a little bit different here. Verse 4. We know, dear brothers and sisters, that's my version different, that God loves you and has chosen you to be His own people. So here it is. The man has to choose for God. Bible says that we have to repentance from our sin and then believe in the gospel. Right? But this verse is saying also that God has chosen us. He chose us to be His people. That's not to think about, okay, this person is chosen and this one is not. That has to make a difference in my life. I don't have to point to the verses of the Bible to see in other people, but in my own life. The fact that God chose me has to make a difference in my life, because that means that He loves me in such a way that He chose me to be His son or daughter. So He chose His church. A model of church is a one that God chose. But also I want to point again that the church has to be part of the church, you have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and repent from your sin. Let's see verse 5. For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power, for the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that we said was true, and you know of our concern for you from the way we live when we were with you. So here it is. Verse 5 says that the gospel was taught to the church of Thessalonians with words, right? And the apostle Paul, Silas, and Timothy, they were preaching the gospel to these people in Thessalonica with words. They had to explain about the things that they were learning, the things the apostle Paul believed when Jesus Christ appeared to him in his way to persecute Christians. And then he believed in the gospel. And then he received the Holy Spirit. And now he knows the gospel. That same gospel is the one that Apostle Paul is preaching to the people in Thessalonica. So they just use words to explain in a way that the people of Thessalonica can understand. That is what is going to happen in the lives of every people. They have the need of hear the gospel in words. So that the need there is words. We have to speak. We have to talk to the people the words of the gospel and explain to the people the gospel. Well, that was the work of the leaders to preach the gospel. But then the verse 5 says that the Holy Spirit made a difference. He made a difference. The people was preaching the gospel with words to the ears of the people, so something that people can hear. But the Holy Spirit is doing something that we cannot see. A work in the soul of the man to regenerate the soul. And that's something that just God can do. So model of church is the one that the Holy Spirit is working on. So what about now that we saw some aspects of the work of God in the church? What about the leaders? Let's see what Paul, Silas, and Timothy were doing with the church of Thessalonica. As you can see in verse 2 and verse 3, they were praying for the church. So a model of church is one church where the leaders are praying for the church. But what is the way that the leaders are praying? Apostle Paul is just copying the model of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 17 and verse 9, Jesus Christ is saying that he is praying for the world and for the people that are their disciples and the ones that are gonna be the disciples. So Jesus Christ prayed for the church first, and now Apostle Paul is also praying for the church. Now, what should the leaders of the church do for their own local church? Also pray for each other and pray for the church. Constantly mentioning the needs and the good deeds and the things that are happening in the church. So the point here is, are you a leader of the church? What makes you a leader of the church? It's not a name. It's not a title. But it's the call that God is giving to you. If you have influence in one person, you are leader for that person too. And you are called to God to be an influence in every person, Christian or non-Christian. If you are talking to people during the week, you have influence in the people. And you are called to pray for that people and also for your church. So let's see verse 2 and the first part. He said that we always thank God. So the attitude of praying is of thankfulness. He's praying with thankfulness to the Lord because of the good things that the church has. Sometimes we're just praying for needs. I have this need, Lord, help me. It's not bad to pray for the needs that we have. But how about say thank you, Lord, because of the things that you are doing already? Because it's your power, because it's your hand what is working here. And I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you and you have to mention the things and spend time with the Lord to say thank you for the things that you are doing. And then you're going to realize that the Lord is working in the church. If you want to be a model of church, you need to be a thankful person in your prayers. Another point, verse 2 says, we always thank God for all of you. For all of you. He say, all of you. I don't think Apostle Paul is saying all of you, because when he prays, he said, Lord, I want to ask you for all the church of Thessalonica. But I think the Apostle Paul is saying that he's praying for all of them, because he's praying personally. He's telling to the Lord the names of the people. He's praying to the Lord by name. And he just not pray for by name to the Lord, but he also knew what was the behavior, what was the strugglings, what was the things that people was fighting with in their lives. He knew about the people. So that allowed him to pray for the needs of each person by name. But how are we going to pray for the needs of the people if we don't spend time with the people, asking them and knowing about the things that they are struggling with? It's not possible. So we need to spend time with the people and asking them, and opening our hearts, and also listening to them, and then go and pray to the Lord for their needs in a personal way. Verse 2 again, he says, we always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly. So Apostle Paul, he didn't pray just one time, but he said that he was praying constantly. He was constantly praying all the time. It was not like, okay, I'm going to pray before I go to sleep because I need to put a check in my checklist of things to pray before I go to sleep. But he was feeling the need to pray for them in such a way that he can say, I am praying for you, not just Wednesdays, but I'm praying for you constantly. Let's see verse 3 at the end says, as we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. So they were saying thank you to the Lord. They were constantly praying, and they knew about the things that the church was doing. Maybe far away from them, but the good works and the loving deeds of the church was known by all the people, and they could hear. It wasn't Facebook at the time or email, but they could hear about them through the time. All the people knew about the church in Thessalonica, a good church that is working and helping. And they have the true gospel. They have the true Jesus Christ. They have the true Messiah. They know God because they are showing through their lives. I like this word, and the enduring hope you have because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Enduring, in my version says enduring. It means that they were also constantly doing the work. In the same way that Apostle Paul was praying for them constantly, they also were responding to the gospel and constantly hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't just the Sunday faith, but it was an everyday faith and hope and waiting every day. I hope the Lord Jesus Christ come today for me. So I'm going to do it better because I love Him And I want to the people know about Jesus Christ through my life, to bright as a light for all the people around me. You see some also examples of the models of the leaders in verse 5. For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power. So the leaders of the church are sharing the gospel with words. And that way they could reach this church in Thessalonica. So what is going to do the church? They're going to do the same because the leaders are modeling through gospel. And they are talking. The church is going to also copy what the leaders are doing. Verse 5 again. For the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that that what we said was true. So the leaders were sharing the gospel with words, but independence, depending in the Holy Spirit. Right? It's not just words. It's not just about knowledge. It's necessary to know. We need to study. We need to spend time in the words of life in the Bible, which is the words of God. But we also need to depend on the Holy Spirit. Because it's a gift of God. The Holy Spirit is God in us. And we can't just walk everyday life by ourselves. He's given us the breath. He's given us the life. But He's also allowing us to talk about the spiritual things. We can't do that just by ourselves. We need the Holy Spirit to do that. Verse 5 at the end says, and you know of our concern for you from the way we live when we were with you. What that means? That means that the leaders were trying to give to the church a good testimony of life. So what is going to do the church? They're going to also try to show a good testimony of life to the other people, the non-Christians, the non-believers, because the leaders are doing the same thing. Their testimony was known by all the people. What is the challenge that God is calling you today through this passage? What are you going to do with the truth that the Lord is the one who has you in His hands? What are you going to do with the truth that the leaders have to pray for the people? You are calling for something. What are you going to do with the truth that you need to speak? You need to talk to other people about the gospel because God is calling you to that. What are you going to do with that truth? What are you going to do with the truth that in your daily life you need to live knowing the gospel but also living in dependence of the Holy Spirit because you can't walk by yourself? What are you going to do with that? Maybe you are doing a good work. But as Apostle Paul says to the Thessalonica church, he told them, you can do it better. The model of a good church is the model of Jesus Christ. He's perfect. We can do it better. What if we pray for that? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this morning, for your word, because you are calling us to make changes in our lives. We are not just staying. We are walking every day in the knowledge of the gospel. We forgot things that we learned. We are learning new things, but we need to walk forward. We need to walk modeling Jesus Christ in our lives. That's the perfect model that we have to copy. Help us to do that every day. And help us as a church to show Jesus Christ to other people around us. Because we're influence for many people every day. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast from Bethany. Join us for Sunday worship at 3532 South Point Avenue in Chicago. For more information, visit BethanyChicago.org.